The White Noise Podcast is an independent, community-led production. It is not affiliated nor endorsed by Gizmodo or Gawker Media. The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of each participant. Please do not listen if you are easily offended, breastfeeding, or deaf.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
White Noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the White Noise Podcast. I've lost count. Are we on episode 3 right now? I think we're episode 3 it is. Yes. Wow. It's been so long.
The White Noise.
Yes. I'd like to thank you all for coming out today. We have a good crowd tonight. We actually have a big crowd tonight on here with us. We have Benguin.
How are you doing?
Ron.
Hello, everybody.
Also known as Ron Taraj. Gonzo Rider.
What's up?
Vito number 9.
Hi, I'm Vito.
Kevlar is also on here.
Yes, I am. Here I am. Hello.
Caroline.
Hi.
And Bazooka Fox.
What's up?
How you guys doing tonight?
Good. Excellent.
Pretty good. I wonder where Vito went.
No, I'm here. I turned off the mute on the Skype window and forgot to hit the one on the actual headset.
computers. Oh, God. All right. Well, since everybody is here, to give a brief rundown of who we are and what we're going to do, the White Noise Podcast is pretty much a podcast where we talk about technology, gizmos, games, or pretty much whatever we want to talk about, whatever comes to mind. We started out on the White Noise hashtag of Gizmodo.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/walletpizza, or get the podcast, stream it live, or download it, thewhitenoisepodcast.com. So we got a pretty good set of things to talk about tonight. We had a lot of big news this weekend and this week. First off, the biggest event this week was probably the Apple event that happened earlier on, which pretty much covered everything from iLife 11 to the new MacBook Airs to OS X Lion and new App Store. And that was pretty much the highlight of the weekend and the week. So we'll kick it off with that, and let's get a few first impressions. What did you guys think of the event?
Man. Well, I actually watched it, and Jesus, was some of that boring.
Yeah, definitely.
I watched because I wanted to see what new stuff comes out, and I was watching the iLife, particularly the iPhoto, and it was awful.
Yeah, it was
nothing
slower.
About the actual products, just the actual event.
Yeah, it was a slower event, and I don't think they had anything too exciting to show off, so I think it really made it seem even slower to the viewer.
Yeah,
I don't tend to watch those things anymore. I just wait for the highlights, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I was watching the event while I was in environmental science class, and I actually ended up paying attention to the class instead of the event.
Because that's a bad sign.
Like, yeah. And the iMovies that they had, the, like, example God. Movies that you could make.
Three friends.
Yeah.
One adventure.
It was funny because they spent, I think it was 15 to 20 minutes on iPhoto alone, and the things that they demoed on iPhoto was the slideshow feature. Wow, check out this awesome slideshow feature. Let's go into detail about it for 20 minutes and all the cool stuff we could do with new slideshows. I think that was the only big improvement in iPhoto 11 from iPhoto 10, the slideshow.
But did they have a star wipe? Because that's all you need.
It always makes me wonder with the slideshow stuff, the way they went into detail about it. I actually questioned myself. I'm like, do people actually use this stuff? Because I've never done a slideshow in my life. There's no reason.
I think it's for grandmas and stuff like that.
Grandma.
Well, Well, I don't know who's going to be using the new iMovie to make super fantastic trailers, like ripped off straight off from Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like that was a total Indiana Jones ripoff.
Yeah. And the Jurassic Park font.
I'm a little more concerned about the GarageBand, how there's actually an option that it'll sync up all the music for you.
It's pretty much now you require zero talent.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything
for me.
Before you needed some talent to kind of get in sync, but now
I kind of disagree though, because I've recorded a few things musically, and you know, it's even if you do have talent, it's really really difficult to get everything perfectly in time. So to be able to use that to just kind of snap it in real quick if it's like somewhere in the right area, that would be really helpful.
It's nothing new. That's in music production either. I mean, there's been, like, in the more professional products like Pro Tools and Logic and stuff, there's a thing called the Quantizer, which pretty much does the same thing.
Right.
Takes everything and puts it in beat. So it's not really something that's new. They're just
take all those horrible YouTube videos and realize everyone can now do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They were previously professional tools, and now anyone with a Mac is just going to be able to think that that's going to fix their issues.
But at least they're taking the approach of actually encouraging people to learn how to use an instrument instead of, you know, taking the Guitar Hero way out where you just press four buttons and you could, you know, dish out a rock song. At least
it has five buttons, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's actually...
And a slide bar.
That's a really good point.
You actually get graded, and you actually, depending on how you play and what difficulty level you want, so you actually can actually learn a song and see your progress over time.
Right.
Instead of, you know, being an idiot.
No, actually, I've used the lessons once or twice for guitar because it's the only instrument I've ever picked up that I never really could wrap my head around. And
well, that's your problem. You're supposed to use your hands.
Yeah. But using the lessons, it was actually kind of helpful. I'm still terrible at guitar, but it was helpful nonetheless.
Soon you will be a rock star. Soon.
I'm working
one
on
day.
It. I think I'm just going to go
out and I can thank Steve Jobs.
No, there were some other things aside from iLife. They introduced the new OS X Lion. They didn't really preview it that much. I don't think that they want to reveal too much on that. They gave us little tidbits like, you know, when they combined Mission Control, when they combined Exposé, Dashboard, and Apps and Spaces all into one thing. Which sort of brings me to my point about the Mac App Store. Was anybody else confused with that? I'm like, I have the iTunes App Store, and now I have the Mac App Store. What the hell is the difference between the two?
I'm thinking of it like Steam, basically. When you think about it, Steam is basically just an App Store. You can go in there, download games, and it's all kind of convenient. Keeps record of everything you've done. You don't got to keep track of your serial numbers and everything. So it's like that. It just makes it easier. I feel as long as they don't do away with the old style of, you know, installing applications.
They can.
As long as you have both methods available, I think it'd be great. Because, you know, you choose one or the other.
I get the impression that it'll maintain the old style of installing things, but it'll just put everything in a central location for you, which I think is a great idea because, you know, sometimes it's tough to find that stuff. You could use the Apple website, but it's not very well organized.
But why is that
like this? Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, well, I was thinking about it like this. Like, I just upgraded my iPhone a few weeks ago. It was so easy because all my apps are just contained within one little app store. I don't have to worry about tracking them all down, installing them again. I just pop it in and boom, everything's ready to go. Same thing if I got a new Mac with the OS X App Store, basically, oh, here's a list of everything I have, I own, here we go, oh, I'm done.
Well, that's similar to the way Steam works with games. In that sense, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But wouldn't it make more sense, though, if the App Store and the Mac Store were combined into one, and if I had an app on the App Store, you know, a weather app or whatever, I could just drag it and drop it onto my Mac, and vice versa for the iPhone? It would be cross-platform.
Well, that would make sense, except for the fact that you're then running an app made for a small screen on a giant screen. And it would, you could, you know, have a small window like an iPhone emulator on the corner of your screen.
And that would also mean
stuff like that. but yeah.
I was actually thinking about that earlier. I think it would be nice if, maybe not necessarily running your iPhone, iPad apps on your desktop, but you at least within that App Store interface, it'll keep track of all of it, so you can at least see it there.
I think they should have
to go back and forth between iTunes and that separate App Store to see all your apps.
Yeah, I think they should have like they have the regular App Store, and then in the App Store is your Mac app section. Instead of having
yo dog, I heard you like App Store, so I'll put an App Store in the App Store.
So wait, it would be the regular App Store in iTunes, or just a regular App Store on its own?
The App Store and the iTunes App Store and the Mac App Store would be one, you know, and it would just be divided. One's for your iPad apps, one's for your iPhone apps, one's for your Mac apps.
That makes exactly. sense. As long as it's separate from iTunes, because if I had to open iTunes to get a Mac app, I would probably kill myself or Steve Jobs.
Come on, iTunes is a great piece of software.
It's. I mean, I use it for music or whatever, but really I only use it when I absolutely need to.
You don't have to use the bell end of iTunes. You're not using it on a Windows machine.
Sort of an oxymoron, but...
Yes.
We also got the new MacBook Airs that were announced and revealed and are out in the wild right now. Wow.
What a ridiculous product.
How thin of a product. So sexy, 11 inches and a price tag of... $1,000.
Only $1,000.
Is that sarcasm?
I am never sarcastic.
I gotta say, it seems overpriced, but I'm pretty sure that thing is gonna sell like crazy.
Of course, yeah, it's $1,000 netbook.
Of course, it has an Apple on it.
That's it is people not a are gonna buy
but
that.
But it's not. It's not a netbook at all. Buy it.
The fact that it has a Core Duo processor in there, the fact that it has discrete graphics, the fact that it's pretty much a laptop compressed into a tiny package. Netbooks, you have your shitty Atom processors.
Yeah.
You have your integrated graphics that, you know, may or may not be able to play a movie. You know, this is actually a full-fledged laptop in a small little package, very thin, very lightweight, and very magical.
I'll say this.
Oh, you had me magical.
I had to use magical.
I don't know if it still makes complete sense to get a MacBook Air, but at least it makes a lot more sense to get this MacBook Air versus the old one.
Yeah.
Because at least the price is down a lot more. And, you know, it's...
It comes with a solid state opposed to the other one.
Like, the old one was really pointless. It was like, why are you getting this? Thinness isn't that big of a deal. Like, just fucking get used to it. But this one, you know, I can kind of see the argument a little bit more. I don't buy into it all the way, but I'm more willing.
I'm pretty sure you could fit two of these in an envelope.
Yeah. I saw the first TV commercial for one of the new MacBook Airs today, and it looks pretty good the way they just, you know, the way they show it, but they don't show it in a real life situation. They show it on a glossy black table with one guy opening it for the first time, and the hinges still work, so it doesn't lift up the bottom of the laptop.
I noticed that they abandoned the thinnest laptop in the world slogan. Did somebody beat them out, or are they just done gloating about it?
I don't know how thin it is, but I was in a Microsoft store a few days ago,
and
there's some Dell something or other, and that thing is like ridiculously thin.
Oh, is that the Atomo or whatever?
I think so. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to carry that around as a laptop. I would be afraid of breaking it in half.
Yeah.
I think Apple is finally being modest, so they're not gloating that anymore.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right.
Or they realize that size does matter.
Modesty from Apple? You serious?
Well, speaking of modesty, when Steve Jobs comes and says, you know, anybody who's making a 7-inch tablet is an absolute moron. Like, there was an article about him saying, it is meaningless unless your tablet also includes sandpaper, so that the user can sand down their fingers to around 1/4 of the present size. It's a quote from Steve Jobs.
Hello, Steve Jobs.
That's modesty for you.
I love the best article. Go ahead.
Except for the people that use an iPod Touch in the same manner that most people would use an iPad.
But that's different. That's not
mine came with sandpaper. I don't know about yours, but mine came with sandpaper. I have tiny little woman fingers now. They look like pencil tips.
I mean, you can't trust half the things he says anymore, because he usually goes back on his word 6 months later. Like, you know, he may be saying there'll never be a 7-inch iPad now, and, you know, and he was saying on the keynote that, you know, we did so many tests that touch computers don't work. You have to have your hands down on a keypad or something you can't poke at the screen.
I agree with that though. One of the touch PCs that have come out, the only thing I think about is that seems incredibly uncomfortable.
I wouldn't be surprised though if come June or July of 2011 there'll be a touch iMac.
Nah.
One of the things I've used in the past is the Panasonic Toughbook with the touch screen that rotates around to a tablet, so convertible.
Yeah,
it works. It's a pen input.
That makes a little more sense because you can rotate the screen and give it that flat surface feel.
It makes sense. Even when I'm using the keyboard, if I have the pen sitting on top of the keyboard, I can just reach up, click, drag, everything like that. It's 10 times better than using a touchpad. Although they don't have the magic touchpad, so
you can use it for basic applications, but not everyday computing. Like, imagine if you didn't have a mouse at all for any of that.
Well,
I don't
really
think I could get through the day with that.
Well, touchscreen has been around for a long time. I mean, we've been with my old job and stuff. We've been using touchscreen Windows 2000. We were using it for work for POS systems. It does not mean that means point of sale, not piece of shit.
But
if you're taking orders like manufacturing or restaurant industry or stuff like that, everybody uses touchscreen monitors running Windows 2000.
Yeah, no, they're popular. I mean, they have them in like fast food restaurants and everything now. But that's a little different, I think, because you're standing at it, you're not trying to sit at it. I mean, I don't know how you used them, but usually when I see them out in the wild, people are standing behind it where I could see it being a little more comfortable that way.
And they're pressing just three buttons, one that looks like a Big Mac, one that looks like a Coke. They don't even have the names anymore, just have the pictures of the products.
Yeah, Big Mac sale, that's it.
So you don't get confused. It's they're taking the Apple way out.
Well, that's why they have the credit card machines on the customer side now, and you don't give it to them to swipe. Less mistakes.
Right. And that's why they give you the change directly from the little machine.
Exactly.
I love those things. Anything that gives me away from people, I love that.
Oh, like the
online
the self-checkout things?
Oh, I got to say.
Yeah. Oh, I use self-checkout every time. I guarantee I'm faster than anybody in that store.
Yep. I love the self-checkout.
God.
Unless I'm buying something that requires me to be like older than 15, like I decide to buy a fucking can of hairspray and I gotta have the
3 forms
geriatric
of ID.
Woman come over and punch in a code into the screen with her shaky finger and say, yes, he is definitely old enough to have hairspray.
That's the worst part about that self-checkout, is that there's that one person who hovers around like the four stations and makes sure everyone does it right, and they always come up and try and like help me. And I'm like, no, get out of here. I got this,
It's called self-checkout for a reason. Come on.
If I wanted your help, I would have waited in line.
I always feel so accomplished on the self-checkout. I do the action before the lady's done talking. Something when it's like, would you please click? And then I click the button, and I just feel really accomplished.
I pay for my stuff before I scan it. That's how good I am at it.
The thing that ticks me off about those is buying a bag of chips. Because if I put a whole bunch of other stuff in the bag and then get a bag of chips, it's so light that sometimes it doesn't detect it. So my chips in there, and I'll be like, "Are you sure you didn't bag your item? Please put your item in the bagging area."
They're trying to tell you theirs, you should steal it.
And then if you don't do it within her third request, she's like, gets all pissed off.
That's when you grab a
please,
pack
wait.
Of gum. And
she stops talking to you.
You idiot. Put those chips in the bag.
please wait for my manager to come and tell you what an idiot you are. But anyway, let's move away from Apple for a bit. We'll come back to that later.
How did we get on that segue?
I don't know. That was
somehow, but it was a pretty good segue.
All right.
That was good.
Can I read the headline of the week though?
What's the headline of the week?
RIM. Jobs is wrong. 7 inches is big enough.
The best thing I've ever heard.
Where was that on?
I am reading it on Tom's Guide right now, but it's been repeated elsewhere.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's even better if you take that pause out.
Yeah, rim jobs.
Rim jobs. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, back at the ranch.
That's why we have an explicit tag.
Anyway.
Awkward.
We were doing so well up till now. Well, back to Apple hell we go. We're going to talk a little bit about Windows 7 too, because they had all their hardware reviewed and released this week, as well as the software.
Windows Phone 7?
Windows Phone 7, yes. It's up, it's out, people know about it. and the reviews are coming in, and they're pretty damn good. If you guys read any of them?
So excited for Windows Phone 7.
Yep. I think the best part about it is they're somewhat it's not like Apple where they're totally locking it down to one handset, and one carrier only. But they are restricting it, or they are kind of keeping it a little closer to the chest than Android does.
Yeah.
It's not quite totally open. So there is a little bit of thought that goes in the, hey, we can throw this on a walkie-talkie. Right. You're getting a somewhat decent phone. Even the lower level phones look like they're pretty good.
Yeah, I do like how they have like a set of guidelines where, like, yeah, if you want to make a Windows Phone 7 phone, you got to at least do this, this, and this. Other than that, go nuts. Whereas, like, on Android, it's kind of like, eh, whatever, we don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so you kind of create this, not exactly, but a sort of universal experience. So you can kind of jump around and still sort of know what you're doing.
And I like that idea a lot because it's like, like, the iPhone is pretty good feature-wise, but then you go Android, and there's really crappy ones, but now they have some set standards you have to follow, so you can get a phone that's higher-end or lower-end, and it'll still be okay.
It's the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Am I the only one that doesn't like the Windows 7 interface, though? I think it's really ugly.
I think it could use some improvement. It's not my favorite, but it depends on how well it works. They say that it hubs out from each tile. So, it expands from there, and that's logical to me. It's not like a menu-style thing where it's like the old Windows mobile.
Usability aside, I'm sure it works very well, and they seem to have put a lot of polish into it, but just the look of it with all that green and whatever, it just kind of seems gross to me. But that's just me.
Well, the colors change. You can make the colors whatever you want. It's like a cross between the widgets that Android has and the icons that are all over the place on Apple, because you can set it up any way that you want. Right now you have your basic stuff like your person window that has like all of your Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and then you got the one down at the bottom with your email, and then you got a different one with whatever you want, and you can move them around.
Right.
And they're constantly updating. So you get what you want, where you want it. And then if you touch it, it'll, like Kevlar was saying, it'll explode into, the little swipe screen where it breaks it down for you.
You get a
good glance at what's in there if you just look at the little widget or whatever they're calling it. Mm-hmm. And then if you tap on it, it'll open up so that you can go into a more detailed look. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, I think they're calling them tiles, obviously, because that's what they look like. But they're describing it as a hub system past that. And just from what I've seen, the integration of the two ideas together seems to work really well. It seems really logical. Except the only thing that I think that I agree with Ron on with the design is the fact that there's only so many per screen, and they're freaking huge. Megan Fox could hit one of those with her hammer thumb and not hit two at once. I mean, they designed the phone for her.
And they're not glossy enough.
Well, I think the overall feeling from all the reviews I've read online, whether it's Gizmodo or it's Engadget or it's whoever, I think Matt Buchanan said it best on Gizmodo. In 6 months after the ecosystem has filled out, the answer will be more clear. And I think that's a very valid point, is that we got a product that looks very, very promising. It works great. It's got a few quirks here and there, but that's expected. It's first generation software.
Yeah.
Great interface, great integration with Xbox Live and Zune. Give it a little time to flesh out, and then by mid next year, we should know that if this puppy has the balls.
Nice. Yeah,
that reminds me. Has anyone here downloaded the newest Zune software that is compatible with Windows Phone 7?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say it's a lot better experience. I have an older desktop that I ran it on. The old Zune software used to crash and burn and die, and the new one runs smoothly and actually seems logical in the organization. It seems to go a lot in the same design field as Windows Phone 7 itself, too.
Did I hear correctly that they made a Zune for the Mac now?
Well, they should.
I believe they should. Yes, they did.
Yeah, I think they did. It would only be smart to do that.
Yeah, I've always been interested in trying it, but you know, obviously I've been stuck without it. But now I might actually give it a shot.
Of course, it may be like iTunes on a PC. It may make you want to blow your brains out or someone else's brains out.
They just made it really shitty just to be jerks.
I don't think they did it on purpose. I just don't think they care enough to develop it properly.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to see Microsoft as the underdog for once in the past 30 years, you know? How times have changed. And they're actually getting their shit together. And I don't think I've seen a single hardware review of Windows Phone 7 that hasn't given it like a 3.5 or higher out of 5, or like a 7 out of 10 or higher. They've all been very solid marks on the whole lineup. So,
well, that's good. That means they're, you know, taking Apple's domination to heart, and they're sitting down in their little meeting rooms and they're like, hey, we're getting our asses kicked. We need to step it up. What can we do to pull ourselves out of this funk? Make people want to have a Windows phone, make people love the Windows brand again.
Yeah,
I'm glad for one, because I've tried using Macs and I hate it. I can't do it.
No, kudos to Microsoft on that. If anybody from Microsoft's listening, you know, good job, guys.
Which
love
I'm
you.
Sure they are.
Well, we talk shit about you. It's because we love you. It's tough love.
We here at the White Noise Podcast approve.
We don't endorse. We just approve.
We approve.
Endorsing
that you
requires
things.
A check.
Yes. Send us money and then we'll talk about you all the time.
We'll change this to the Windows Podcast.
Yes. Okay. On to some less enticing and more creepier news, which all might not be news to anybody, but we got two bits of news for you. The first one we're going to talk about is the Facebook apps that are, you know, gathering your data and selling them. Which doesn't come as a surprise that you install an application or a game, and these applications are now mysteriously getting not only just your user ID, but they're getting your friends list, they're getting all this information from you, and then selling it to other people that then cross-reference that information and see if your games have any of, if your friends use any of their games or products. And yeah, pretty much a big finger to privacy.
Really, is anyone surprised anymore?
Yeah, who
as long
didn't
as
see
I'm
that
not
coming?
Getting more like, spam, I think I just, I'm good.
I expect Facebook to violate my privacy at this point. Like, it's just par for the course.
Maybe 6 months ago I would have been surprised, but after all the shit that's been coming out lately, it's just, wow, look, they're stealing our privacy.
And their user
question is, what will they steal next?
Don't get me wrong, I don't like
your
it.
Your penis.
Like, I don't approve.
Come on, Steven. I thought we were trying to be mature here.
They're going to come to your house and steal your penis with some crazy voodoo magic.
They can have it. I'm tired of it.
I'd like to see that happen, actually.
There was a court case about that, that somebody accused somebody of stealing their penis with voodoo a couple years back. I'll see
no,
if
dude,
I can
nobody
find
stole it.
It.
It's just cold.
No, you guys talk about Facebook and how evil it is, and I'll find this article.
Well, that's the only third-party application I have on Facebook is my BlackBerry app that ties into it. That's the only one I have approved right now.
It's barely an app.
Yeah, well, I mean,
exactly, like barely.
But that's the only thing I have that's not Facebook itself that gets my information.
Yeah, so, me too.
And I trust BlackBerry enough to, you know, have my texts and my phone calls and everything.
Also, and, after seeing, sorry.
But no, go ahead. That was it.
No, after seeing The Social Network, I'm kind of just like, whatever. Mark Zuckerberg's a dick. I'm just going to accept that my stuff is going to go other places. And if I'm giving my information to a dick, what else is he going to do with it? So.
Yeah, I'm not really big into the Facebook apps. I use Farmville for a little bit, but I gave that up a while ago, too. I don't see the
We
point.
All had those dark days.
God, yeah. See, here's the problem. Like, you don't have to be into the apps. But if your friends are, then you're fucked anyways.
Yeah,
like,
that's why
I don't even worry about it anymore. Because it seems like no matter what I do, one of my idiot friends is going to fuck it up and expose me. So whatever. Might as well just accept it.
Here's my thing. My grandmother's on Facebook, and she checks it regularly. So there's nothing on Facebook that I want her to find out that she'd be disappointed with. So, and that works well. Like, if they
so
want
I'm
to
sure
find
she
out,
listens to this podcast, right?
No, I don't talk about it on there. But anyway. But it's I keep that stuff separate. That's what I use my Twitter account for, which is wide open for everyone anyway. So.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
Twitter is a dirty version of you.
Yes.
That's sexy.
Yeah.
See, I don't use
check out my sexy peek.
I've got Xbox Live and my World of Warcraft is the only thing that's actually linked to my Facebook. My wife, on the other hand, she's got Farmville, the Frontierville, some Get Glue thing for stickers, some cupcake thing. I can't count
like that
crap that she's got on there. So yeah, I'm boned.
All right. Speaking of boned, I found the penis article. There's actually two of them, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Boy.
The first one, the title is Nigerian Taxi Drivers Strike for Missing Penis. And it's pretty much saying that they have gathered in to protest against a client they accuse of using pigeons to steal penises.
Okay. My big question, Steven, is what else came up when you Googled for this?
I didn't really pay attention. I was determined to find missing penis or stolen penis.
I can't tell you what showed up when I searched for the Steve Jobs 7 inches is enough article.
But honestly, I mean, who hasn't used a pigeon to steal a penis before?
Well, actually, he had his family jewel stolen with the help of a white spiritual pigeon hidden in his bag.
That's got to be white.
I don't know, but the pigeon was wearing a small black tie around its neck.
Right.
Okay, and I quote this guy's story. This is what he said. I drove this man to three different places. On our way back to our point of departure, he squeezed his legs tightly around me, which made me feel sick and weak immediately. I therefore stopped riding to have a look in my trousers, and it was gone.
I think something was definitely lost in translation, but I don't want it back.
Well, the local transport union of motorcyclists have threatened to take the case to court if the pigeon does not give back the missing penis to its owner.
Story of my life.
They're going to court for that.
That's
one.
That's fantastic.
What does one do with a stolen penis?
Use your imagination.
I don't think I want to know.
Puppet shows.
Oh,
train it to do tricks.
Tie it on. Pretend you have two.
Does a pigeon become a sex offender now? Do we have to register him? And how do we nail down his whereabouts?
Yeah, really, he'll be tough.
We can use familywatchdog.us.
There we go. Family Watch.
Segway.
Yes.
What a segue.
You know, segways don't work if you point them out. God.
But it's more fun.
I'm being ironic. I don't know.
if you're listening right now, which will probably be in like a day or two from now, so for you people in the future, www.familywatchdog.us is the pretty much sex offender registered sex offender map. And if you put in your address, it'll give you like a little Google map of a 7 mile radius or 8 mile radius of around your house with sex offenders of all different kinds and shapes and sizes and offenses, and the locations of schools, just in case you want to commit your own sexual offense, you know where to go.
Yeah, I just like
this podcast does not endorse sexual offense
unless you're sexually offending, you know, Kevlar.
Yes, then
which at this point
thing.
Who hasn't?
Yes,
but yes, I'd like to just say this came up one night in Tiny Chat. We were all just talking, somehow came up where
came up.
Waka waka.
Well, I creeped up.
Sure, why not? We're talking about just sex offenders in the neighborhood, so we made a little game out of it to see who had the most sex offenders in their area.
Do you automatically win if there's a dot on your house?
Yeah. If your picture's on there, you get bonus points. It's a daily double.
You win, but you lose.
So, well, you already lost, really.
A while back, I was checking this out at work, like when I had first moved to New Jersey, and around my area, it's, you know, I think I've got like maybe 3 or 4, but they're like way off. They're not anywhere actually near my house. And now when I did it, I went recently and it looks different now, but when I went, there were colors like based on the type of offense.
they colored the dots. And I went to like all the other people in the office, and one of the guys was like, "Ah, Jersey City." So I typed up Jersey City, put in the zip code. The map comes up, and it's just boom! It's all red. I was like, "Oh, crap, dude, map. You might want to move." I hope you don't have any kids.
Well, yeah, well, in my neighborhood, I have within about 7 or 8 miles, 253 offenders, 96 non-mappable offenders, with the closest one being 0.3 miles from my house. So awesome.
Non-mappable offender.
Do you live in a jail or something?
They're like transients. They just lurk in the shadows.
0.3 miles. That's the dude living in your backyard. Now you know why he's there.
Oh, I was wondering what was the deal with that.
That treehouse wasn't abandoned after all. Dun, dun,
dun. But well, not... you definitely beat me. I only have 6.
Oh, in Arkansas?
Oh, I feel so good about
in
that.
In Arkansas.
I'm impressed.
I'm impressed, too.
I have 66 over here with 14 non-mappable, so it's not too bad. It's about, like, one predator per school in the area.
Oh, they got 29 and 6 non-mappable, which I really want to know what that means.
I don't think I want to know what non-mappable is.
I want to know what... They have two different colors for each offense. Like there's offense against children, like rape, sexual battery, other offense. But they have offender home and offender other.
Probably like their work and stuff.
Their
like
car. Yeah.
Work. Safe house.
Ah.
Safe house. <It's>
their... their dealer.
God.
That's where you can find them if they're not at home. Right.
That's where they do their offenses.
They're out of all
that's their sex dungeon.
Maybe, I mean, in all seriousness, maybe it's like where the offense was committed.
I don't think so. Because I've got a bunch that are all the ones around here from out of state.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, I think it's like their jobs and stuff like
so
that.
So Arkansas is the Australia of sex offenders.
Apparently. like I was saying earlier, there's an article in my newspaper about how if a sex offender moves here, the waiting list to get processed is so long that they can stay here for a while, they won't have to register, and then they can just move somewhere else, and then they'll start the process again, so they'll just keep moving.
Note
and
to
they
self,
won't have to register.
Watch
your back in Arkansas.
Was it a College Humor video a few years back about that village of sex offenders that they like moved into the woods because they couldn't get any houses anymore because they felt they were being persecuted or something?
Actually, I think that's a real thing.
Is it a real thing?
It's something that I saw on the news out here. They're talking about that they end up grouping in these places that are like exactly outside the little bubbles around schools and churches and all that. It's like trailer parks, like way out in the middle of nowhere, but they're all sex offenders because that's the only place that they end up being able to live without having to, you know, be constantly questioned or all that stuff.
The last place you want to raise your kids.
But you know what? I sort of don't feel much sympathy for their, you know, wambulancing about that. I mean, if you're gonna go and touch kids, then yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Hold on. I'm going to be devil's advocate here for a minute.
Right. He supports children.
Touching kids is one thing, but when you get put on the sex offender list because, you know, you and your girlfriend were sending pictures to each other when you're both 15, and you get put on the sex offender list, you have to fucking report your whereabouts constantly. That's fucked up, and that's just wrong.
I agree with that.
And they get put on the sex offender list just like any other, like the most depraved motherfucker on the planet is right next to some guy that was just sexting with his girlfriend, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, you can get put on the sex offenders list by doing a lot of things. I think someone even told me, like, public urination, you can get registered as a sex offender, and pretty much you're on the same level as somebody who, you know, raped kids, which that kind of sucks. But so, you know, be careful about peeing outside. That's all it wants.
That's gotta suck because that happens a lot when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm screwed.
Oh, God. Bazooka, are you moving to a village?
No, but I think I'm getting a red dot on my area.
It's flashing. There's a bat signal on your house. Or a phallus symbol, rather.
There's a thing up here one time where there was a lady, and she was a teacher, and a student came over and fucked her on the student's 18th birthday, And he knew the teacher had been drinking and her husband was out of town, and now she has to register as a sex offender because she was a teacher, and you can't have sex with a student unless he's 21 or over. And that's just kind of fucked up. Because that you're not telling me this 18-year-old dude didn't know what he was getting into. She didn't seduce him or anything.
So wait, how did they find out? Did one of them report it, or?
I don't remember how they found
out. You know he was bragging about it.
He probably had it on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.
Friendster.
But she got in all this trouble, and I'm like, you know, what happened to the kid here? The kid knew what he was doing.
Yeah. If you get a high five from that, it doesn't count as rape. All right, that's what I want to say. If anyone congratulates you based on the activity, that's not a rape.
I agree.
Depending on your circle of friends, but anyway.
Yeah.
They probably just checked into Mrs. Williams' house.
moving on to something a little bit less, you know,
creepy.
But still on the negative tone. Obviously, a lot of people have been affected this week with the whole news media networks versus internet spats have been going on, in particular Fox versus Cablevision. Where pretty much what's been going on is that because Google TV and a lot of other services are offering free access to full-length TV shows that are on the websites of Fox or ABC or whatnot, those networks believe that they are losing money and they believe that they deserve money for every single view they get on their program, regardless of whether you view it online or on the TV. So what they've been doing is the most famous one was Fox pretty much made a blackout of all of its channels and programming to anybody who subscribed to Cablevision Internet, which was a few million New Yorkers, actually, if I'm not mistaken. So all these New Yorkers got blocked from all these websites from Fox and all of its affiliates just so they couldn't watch their stuff because, you know, two people are bitching over a price.
Yeah, my issue with that is that's between the businesses. There's no reason to hurt the consumer.
Exactly.
And
I don't know how many options there are for cable, internet, or whatever have you, in New York, in those areas. If that's your fastest option and you're pretty much cutting people off, then that's straight up dick move. That's I don't know.
A lot of people got cut off from their access from the major league baseball games too because of that. I recall.
Is this the same thing that happened with ABC a few months back? Basically.
Pretty much, yes. But now everybody joined in. Now Fox News held the flag, and everybody joined in.
Yeah, I know Fox is no longer broadcasting on Dish Network out here. I think it's Dish Network.
Yeah, that's what I've wondered. Is
and nothing of value was lost.
Both the ABC thing and the Fox thing seem to happen with Cablevision. I wondered what happened to the other cable providers, because I know the one I use has never outed anything. They've never cut service for anything. You know, do they just cave to the network's demands, or what's the deal there?
It's pretty much a deadlock. It's a stalemate. And like one person doesn't give, the other company doesn't give, and pretty much it's the end user that gets screwed. And I know Fox backed down after 18 hours. I think I read an article about that. I'm not sure if they backed down on Cablevision or another provider, because there was something going on with because you said Kevlar Dish Network doesn't have Fox anymore, right?
Yes. There's ads on the radio about it saying that they will no longer have it. I don't know if it's happened yet or if it's happening this week. But they're basically saying you need to go to another provider if you want to watch Fox.
Wow, and that has nothing to do with the internet. That's
yeah, just TV.
That's insane.
I don't know. It's
Fox Sports West, Fox News, and even the local Fox channel that they don't know for sure yet, but they're saying possibly the local Fox News channel won't have it.
It's ridiculous.
It is. And really, I mean, it's just the network's just being a bully, really, and then the provider's just being even worse about it. When in reality, I don't think the networks deserve the money that they ask for from these companies, because networks have the option of broadcasting over the air, which, you know, regular cable companies can't do, or cable channels can't do, you know?
I want to know why they're singling out certain providers, because I still get Fox shows on Hulu. I mean, we still watch House and Family Guy and occasionally The Simpsons. But, I mean, we haven't lost anything. So, why are they just picking and choosing who they're crapping on?
I think it's because the ones that they're picking on, it's like Cablevision, is refusing to meet their demands
right
for the price per episode. So that's why they're picking on Cablevision, perhaps Comcast or Time Warner or whoever, because, you know, Comcast has no interest in cutting off their NBC because they own NBC. You know what I mean? Is it NBC they own or CBS now? I think it's NBC. But Time Warner, again, owns a lot of these cable channels. So you don't have that many options, but those that you do, it's either pay up or get blocked.
I don't know. It's just two giant corporations being bullies at each other, and then we end up losing for it, which sucks, but I guess it's just kind of the way of the world.
Two companies in a pissing contest, and we get to play toilet.
Well said.
But, I don't know, I mean, Google TV is going to get hit with this, too. I mean, they can't do anything. They're just, you know, in the background, and they pretty much said, we have no say in this, so, you know, we're getting it in the butt as much as you guys are. So,
I think those are the exact words too.
That's what they said. Eric Schmidt came out and said, "I'm taking it in the butt."
You know, I mean,
he stumbled on a stage.
Well, we just lost our Google audience.
Which audience have we not offended so far? Jesus, like the Apple fanboys left in episode one. They're long gone.
No, I'm still here.
But. Well, we got a Windows 7 following, sort of, until they fuck up.
Pretty soon it's equal opportunity bashing. To each other.
Which will happen. Oh, see you, fanboys. All right, we're down to two viewers.
Two viewers. Windows 8 details. We know nothing about it, but we could dream, can't we?
What? We have seven people on the podcast and only two people listening. What's wrong here?
I want 128-bit Windows 8.
128-bit? Jesus Christ. You know, you realize there's not really that big of an advantage between 32 and 64-bit except for memory?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm hoping my Windows 8 machine will have 200 gigs of RAM.
That's everybody loves big numbers.
Can't 64-bit go up to like 1 petabyte of RAM?
Petabyte. not sure. It's a number higher than I'm willing to go.
Can you imagine how much that would cost to just have a system that would be able to do anything better than what you currently have?
I can only imagine what Windows 8 could do. What they say is going to revolutionize everything, but when they said the same thing about Vista, and it did revolutionize everything.
In a shitty way.
Everybody bought a Mac.
It sent us back 10 years.
You know what? Yeah. Fuck you guys. I still use Vista.
Vista got better.
No, it didn't.
Started off a steaming pile of shit, though.
And then
it became Windows 7.
In the beginning, it was horrible. I will admit that. But I built my computer specifically to run Vista, and that, unfortunately, that was their problem. You couldn't just put it on a computer and have it run. Your computer had to be a fucking monster because it's a hog.
Well, it's gonna be fun to see how they incorporate Kinect technologies into Windows 8. Because you know they're doing that.
I hope they don't.
See you're watching porn. How can I be of assistance? Oh, God! Somebody turn off the Kinect!
I can tell by the stroking motion of your hand.
Would you like to go full screen?
Could you imagine your computer telling you tits or get the fuck out in order for you to look on? Show me your tits.
No, it's even sadder when it starts pulling up penis enlargement ads.
Yeah.
We think you need this. Aww.
That's definitely sad.
Oh, God.
That's targeted marketing right there.
Jeez. Okay. Anyway, moving along to the HP slate, which on our little topic that we have... Oh, God. On our little topic that we have that we sort of brainstorm what we're going to talk about on each podcast, we sort of, you know, gather around people, write down their ideas and stuff. And this one little bullet point on the HP slate, and I will read it to you. HP stupid fucking slate going on sale for $800 stupid fucking dollars. The fucking slate, fucking YouTube video of everybody fucking looking, stressing out, fucking stupid. That was a suggestion.
Can I guess who wrote that?
I have no idea. I would like to know.
I'm going to guess Bazooka Fox wrote that.
Was not me.
Who wrote that?
Wait, okay, so I wrote A. I wrote the... Okay, someone wrote the HP stupid fucking slate going on sale for 800 fucking whatever dollars. And then I wrote the link with the YouTube video and fucking YouTube whatever slate.
That was Ben.
It was not, actually. No, I did not write that.
Who was it?
It's got you marked, dude.
Who was phone?
How are we going to get endorsements from people if we say fucking after every fucking thing?
We can get an endorsement from Adam and Eve, maybe.
Well, that's easy. We just don't read the suggestions on air.
Oh. Don't worry. I got Fleshbot on the phone.
Wait, so are we trying to get endorsed or something?
Oh, somebody is updating the topic list. Penguin, you asshole. But why is this HP slate rubbing you guys the wrong way?
The freaking YouTube video that which is an ad, the slate is laggy in the video. Everyone looks stressed the hell out. Like, everyone's like, oh shit, how do I use this thing? What the hell is going on? And like, they're showing it in like a restaurant situation. They're showing it with the X-ray and like the little nurse looking at the X-ray and they're trying to zoom in. And it's just
the pinch to zoom was laggy.
Yeah.
In the video,
yeah,
like in the YouTube video.
Hard. Why would they even put that in there?
I don't.
Exactly.
I'm watching it right
the
now.
Whole video. They rotate the thing around like 4 different times clockwise. It's like he doesn't know what he wants to do with it.
Exactly. Everyone looks stressed out because they don't know how to use it, and it's just like, why is that a commercial? If this is the best you can make, then I don't want your product.
HP Slate. Spend money, get lost.
But it's made for businesses. The whole point of the commercial and their whole point of marketing is, we don't want you, the average Joe, to use this thing. It's not for you. Quit bitching about it.
Constipated businessman to use it.
It's for hospitals and businesses and people and insurance agents and stuff like that.
I wonder what
you.
They're going to make more money on. The slate, the software to back up the slate on their network, or the classes that teach everyone how to use the fucking thing.
Well, I mean, even if it is for business, I got a job and I don't want that stupid fucking thing either. You know?
Well, I don't see how, you know, prostitution involves the HP slate.
You know what? You'd be surprised.
You got to keep track of clients.
Maybe that's what the P stands for.
I'm $205.03 short for my pimp. You got to pay up.
I could use my calculator widget.
My $800 calculator widget.
Yeah. We all know it's not going
to
work.
Contract.
Oh, no, there's a weather... There's a weather widget too. Oh, it's raining on the corner. I'm gonna have to wear a coat today.
I mean,
isn't it 7 inches, by the way?
Yeah, let's be honest. The 7-inch thing is gonna kill it. I mean, you gotta shave your fingers and everything. I mean, it's just not right.
Sandpaper it down. And it's
7 inches is enough.
It's actually
it comes
Windows
with
7.
A pen.
Stylus, not a pen.
Oh, sorry.
They call it a pen input on the ad.
Yeah. So why don't you go away?
It's evolving. And that will not go away.
I think they should put Vista on it.
It should have been a stylus, though, so at least one thing could be style. Have style.
But
Oh, punny.
Oh boy. That's the effect of your pre-game bong session.
Yep.
The interesting thing about it is Cisco and I believe since they own Tamberg, they're putting out a tablet.
Yeah, the Cius. Or something like that.
But that's mainly for like on-the-go teleconferencing. That being Cisco and Tamberg's main strength. It doesn't make a lot of sense to have a tablet for teleconferencing. Who wants to walk around holding this thing up to your face, and then the guy behind you or the guy on the other side of the screen is going to get motion sickness? The business-oriented tablet has to be almost like a tough book type thing. Like, it's sturdy, it's strong, it doesn't necessarily need to have super multi-touch, it just has to have your basic, probably pinch to zoom, have a, you know, accelerometer so it knows when to rotate. But other than that, it doesn't need to be super fancy. Most of this stuff's going to be used for inventories, looking at documents. It's not going to, you don't need crazy specs out the ass on these things, and they're overselling them.
Considering it has a 1.8 gig Intel Atom processor, no wonder it's laggy and slow.
I just don't understand the $800 thing.
Well, it's probably what it costs. I mean,
well,
go ahead.
Well, if you think about it, it's pretty much a netbook that's flat and touchscreen. So you're paying the premium on the fact that it's a flat touchscreen netbook more than anything, because it's got the same specs as any average netbook out there.
Or maybe they made it $800 so that when companies ordered them in bulk and they raised it, I mean, they lowered it to like $750, they'd feel like they're having a deal.
$50 off.
Now,
does this thing come with a 3G? Or is that a... Is
it a
Wi-Fi?
I think it's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the guy in the video pulled out a little USB dongle that looked like...
And he sticks it in.
Yeah, to communicate.
That's what that was. That thing was ridiculous on the slate. I would hate to have to use that thing.
It's like a giant chode on top of it.
Why is it always with penises, Steven?
I don't know.
It's Steven Phallus. His name is Steven Phallus.
There's something about me and dick jokes. I don't know what it is.
You and dicks.
Dick jokes never go out of style. They're always funny.
One dick pony. I mean trick. Trick. What?
Dick. It's dick.
Okay, don't be a dick.
All right.
All right. Well, we got our hatred out of the slate and
stupid fucking slate.
Yes. Forget the stupid fucking slate. We vented on that.
I don't think I hated it enough yet.
Do you want to hate some more on it?
Yeah. That thing's fucking stupid. All right. Go ahead.
Make me feel bad on y'all. Okay.
All right.
We're going to quickly jump into gaming really quick, not anything hardcore. First off, Angry Birds was bought out by EA, for those that didn't hear.
Boo.
Yes, EA has bought yet another great, great game studio, and God knows what's going
to
happen with it.
God, I cannot wait for them to burn it into the ground.
Yeah, the next update's going to be like $30.
Well, they say that...
Bucks a level.
The Chilingo will actually retain the rights to the game, but we know that doesn't mean shit when it comes to EA.
Nope.
Yeah.
Or Activision. Whichever one you want to hate more.
Yeah.
Doesn't apply to them. But, no, I think it was what the hell was that? I don't know. Anyway, $20 million is what they paid for that.
That's a heck of a payday, though. Good for them.
Right, $20 million just from Angry Birds. And you know what? They've expanded so much. I've seen Angry Birds plush dolls and Angry Birds t-shirts and stuff.
For real?
I think they were even saying they might do an Angry Birds movie.
How?
An animated movie.
An Angry Birds podcast.
No, we don't need more competition.
I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as they try the Angry Birds movie, all of America is going to be super fucking pissed when the suicide bomber bird gets on screen.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
The kamikaze bird, yes. And you know what?
Have I told you guys my theory about Angry Birds? The seedy backstory behind it?
No.
Go enlighten us, sir.
I think the pigs are the reason they're stealing the eggs is because they are under the employ of a certain Dr. Seuss. And so to make green eggs and ham.
You really looked that deeply into it?
Yeah. No, I didn't even know there were pigs, and I play the game. So I think that just says a lot about you.
So you don't know they were pigs?
It also says a lot about you, Caroline.
What?
You didn't know they were pigs? What did you think they were?
Yeah.
This is the more important matter. I mean, it says in the beginning of the game.
The evil pigs.
Yeah, they stole your eggs.
I don't recall that.
What did you think they were? Let's put it that way.
Wait, think what was what?
What did you think the little green monsters that were, you know, in fortresses? What did you think those things were?
I thought they were birds.
Other birds?
Pick those birds.
I mean, okay, it'd be one thing if they were pink, then you could laugh at me, but they're green.
That's why I'm telling you it's Dr. Seuss behind it all. He's getting them to steal the eggs, and then he's slaughtering the pigs to make the ham. It all makes sense.
But it's not green ham and eggs. It's green eggs and ham.
The ham is still green. Have you read the book?
I guess.
It is green.
He told you.
You just got told.
But at least Angry Bird. Well, I wonder now, is Angry Birds going to be continue? I mean, does EA have a very big Android game base? Do they even give a shit about Android?
No, because there's I've no money. I've never heard of a game on Android.
I think Angry Birds for Android was released a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a week ago, I
think. It's a free download, though, isn't it?
It was. Yeah, yep.
Free download, ad supported.
It still is.
Like, apparently it's a little
not
buggy.
Even beta version.
Well, either one or two things would happen. EA could jump on that shit and fix it up and take over the gaming scene on Android, or they're going to let it fizzle and be like, yeah, we don't give a shit about Android. One of those two things. Guess which one's going to be.
You have my prediction.
If Angry Birds already has someone developing it for the Android, and they're already employed by EA, then they might as well just let that guy keep tweaking it. It's not going to cost EA that much.
Unless, of course, it wasn't EA that, you know, started the Angry Birds for Android. I don't know.
They started on this, the Angry Birds for Android crossover, whatever. They started that long before EA bought them out.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, it's not like you can just swap the code a little bit and then put it out. It's got to go through several channels, the testing, the coding. Oh, you got bugs here. We got to fix this. We got to fix that. Throw it up on the beta. And then EA's like, you know, maybe we should buy them.
Oh, don't you worry about a thing, though. You'll soon have it on your Verizon iPhone.
Yeah.
We already know what I think about that.
Actually, the case is in leather.
People are making it official.
What exactly will EA do with it? I mean, it's already a game on the iPhone. It's already a game on the Android. The updates are usually free. Like, how much are they going to add to it, or what other consoles will they bring it to?
Yeah, I can imagine
they'd put it on, like, XBLA or, like, PSN or something.
I would love to see that on the Xbox Marketplace. I'm a big fan of their little indie/mini games that you can buy for, like, you know, 400 points. If I had Angry Birds on my Xbox, I'd be playing that a good bit.
That's where I learned about the Impossible game.
Maybe there'll be a new football bouncy bird or something.
The Impossible Avatar
John Madden out of a slingshot.
There's a Halloween version going out right now. It's available, I think.
Yeah, and it's got a different developer name.
Boy, can I pay for it again?
I wouldn't mind paying an extra 99 cents for that, but I wish it was like an in-app purchase or something, because I hate having two apps for the same.
Oh, I have to click out of it. Oh my god.
it litters up my
button clicks. Oh my god.
But now there's folders on the iPhone, so that would help.
Just double tap and go to your open icons tray.
Everything's amazing. Nobody's happy.
Yeah pretty much.
Guess who said that?
We need a cause. We need a reason to get pissed.
Louis C.K. said that.
Yes, Louis C.K. But
that was like one of his best skits.
Let's hand this over, though, to Bazooka and Gonzo. You guys putting you on the spot right now to do a Civ 5 review, since we're talking about
games. You're not going to join us, Steven?
Me?
You're just as addicted as we are.
You can't reveal that about me. I'm supposed to be the professional one here.
There's no such thing as professionals.
I think I discredited myself.
Not on this podcast, you aren't.
I discredited myself with all the penis talk.
Yeah. Penis professional.
But people want to hear you guys, because you guys are the life of the party right now.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, come on, Gonzo. Gonzo, life of the party.
Right on. Well, they recently came out with a new update, like 2 days ago. They just fixed a bunch of bugs. Fixed a bunch of bugs and tweaked some things. And I think it worked out better. Like, one of the things they did is they fixed... like, if you set your workers to just auto-repair stuff, they won't go back and change stuff you've already built, which is handy.
Oh, God, finally. I think we need to talk about what the game is, though.
Okay. Well, let's start.
Go for it, Bazooka. It's all you.
Oh, God. Oh, me in the spot.
You're horrible at this.
Okay, let's put it this way. between Civ... What are the improvements between Civ 4 and Civ 5? What's good and what's bad?
I cannot tell you. I picked up Civ 5 for the first time, and it is the first Civ game I've ever played.
You are the worst reviewer ever.
I know.
We're not good. We're not professionals.
Okay, yeah. Well, how about this? Which one of the people in there, which civilization is the worst one to deal with that you want to stab and kill with fire?
Fucking Gandhi. Good God.
I don't mind Gandhi. I really don't like Alexander or even America.
America.
Well, you are a communist.
I'm a pinko commie. I'm okay with that. But they always attack me like all the time, and I'm not doing anything to them.
Well, you should try being American then.
Maybe I should. But I just love the Japanese so much.
The one that I hate the most, I was a sucker and got the deluxe edition on Steam, so I got Nebuchadnezzar in my game. That guy is batshit fucking insane. He has like one town on a little peninsula that's no bigger than like a settler village, and he goes on taunting you and declares war on you. And next thing you know, there's an army of Mesopotamians on your doorstep out of this little fucking town. Like, he spends his first 30 turns in game building army units. That's all he does. Everybody's starving. He's building army units. He's crazy.
My question, though, is, are you excited for the new update that's going to have the Huns?
Ooh, Genghis Khan?
Yeah, it's coming out on Tuesday.
I just want more barbarians.
Barbarians with battleships, with destroyers and nuclear bombs.
Infantry units and giant death robots. Good God.
I want him to get rid of that goddamn video screen at the beginning. I fucking hate that thing. I don't want to watch it anymore.
Oh. No, you can't click through it?
Well, I can, but I shouldn't have to.
Oh, Gonzo. That one click is ruining your experience.
I have to hit the escape key like 10 times before it moves on.
It wants you to see that video.
I don't want to see it. I've already seen it once.
It's a well-made video.
I don't give a shit. It's not for me.
All right, so that was our half-assed
Civ 5
review.
All right.
All right, bottom line it for us. Is it a good game? Yes or no? Buy it, don't buy it.
If you have a good 40 to 30 hours a week to burn, then yes, because it will suck away any social life you thought you had.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, to go through one game, on a medium-sized map in normal mode, you're looking at least a good 6 hours.
When I got my cultural victory, I must have played like over 1,000 turns.
Oh,
it took forever.
It took me all day once. I didn't turn off my time limit. Like, I had it end at 2050, and I was going for the cultural victory. So I was playing for like a good like 8 hours, and then I was like a tree away from cultural victory. You know, I hadn't even gotten it yet. And all of a sudden, the time limit came up. I was so pissed. 8 hours wasted. My life sucks.
That's like playing through a normal game and then finding out that you still lost. Like, you finish Halo Reach campaign, and for some reason you still lose and you can't play it again.
You mean like the planet gets destroyed?
Something like that.
Pretty much.
Why'd you just ruin the end for me?
Okay, if you play any Halo game for you, Reach always, you always know Reach is a place where a lot of shit got fucked up.
Yeah, I was kidding.
Well, I don't take well to sarcasm, sir.
There's no sarcasm on the internet. It's all serious.
All right. Well, time flew tonight. Literally, time flew. It's been an hour and 15 minutes already. We got to wrap this up before we talk for another hour and somebody misses their raid or whatever else they have to do. So,
play Civ 5, bitches.
Yes.
Nope.
So, I'd
somebody
like
to misses their raid. Wonder how you'd be talking about there.
I'd like to thank all you guys for coming out tonight. This was an experiment with eight people on the mic tonight. We had eight people. That's crazy. But so we did crazy. Pretty well. So everybody did a good job. Good job to you guys. Round of applause. Yay.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Unsubscribe. I'm not going to invite you to my blue unmarked van and give you candy afterwards.
Penis.
So that's what an unmappable offender means.
Yes.
All right. So after party in Steven's van.
Oh, yeah. So just to give a quick rundown again, tonight we had Benguin.
Hello and goodbye.
Ron.
Au revoir.
Gonzo Rider.
I'm like herpes, you can't get rid of me.
God knows we've tried.
I know.
Vito number 9.
A
Tevlar.
My cat is wearing my headphones.
Oh, God. Caroline.
Bye.
And Bazooka Fox.
Later.
And of course me, Stephen Callis, who was probably who's never ever gonna get a job that's serious because of this podcast.
Yay.
I'm glad we could help with your life goal.
Thank you very much.
You're very
fault for using your real name.
That's not my real name. That's my alias, by the way.
Stephen Callis.
Some other poor soul is gonna
That's his porn name, Stephen Fallis. that's the name he uses in One Night in Callis, Stephen Fallis.
Oh, God. Anyway, thanks you guys for coming out tonight. It's been fun. And don't forget to visit us, thewhitenoisepodcast.com, to download and listen to the latest podcast. It has the iTunes link, the Zoom link, direct download, and the streaming. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/walletpizza. And lastly, you can find us trolling about Gizmodo at gizmodo.com/tag, as in T-A-G, /white noise. See us around, say hello, let us know what you think. We're always open to new ideas and suggestions for this.
That's podcast. A lie. We're not.
It's an experiment. I don't know about
we hate newcomers.
Newcomers.
Everybody say bye on three. One.
Bye.
Three.
Bye.
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 Conformists.
We suck at counting.
Penis.
Oh, God.
I don't know math.
Penis.